Okay, today's shiur is sponsored by Gerald and Shelley Gornish in honor of the birth of their granddaughter Leah, Mazal Tov. And refuah shlema for the month, Ayelet HaShachar Bat Shoshana Bracha, Sarah Bat Tova, Orla Penina Bar Aruch Frida, Roni Bat Zara, Ava Amuna Bat Chava, Miriam Bat Chaya. V'kliloi Nishmat Hoshul Tzvi Shlomo Chaim Ben Nina Sarah, V'kadima Bat HaRav Avram Tzvi Ben Zion V'chana. Okay, today's daf is Tzadi Gimel. Nicely, we start right at the top of the daf with a question. Ba mine rami barchama. Okay, before we start with the, I should really just go back, and we'll quickly learn the Mishnah and Tzadi Ben Amon Aleph together, the first Mishnah in the parak. Dam chatat shenitaz al habeged, hareze te'un kibus. Okay, so actually, before we even do this, let's just look at the psukim in the Torah. Okay, look on your sheet. Vayikra perek vav, psukim yudzayin tekaf gimel. These are a bunch of laws about the chatat. Some of them will be familiar already. Vayidaber shamo Moshe limor. Taber al Aron ve'al banav limor, zot torat ha-chatat. במקום אשר תשחט העולה, תשחט החטאת, לפני השם קודש קודשים היא. Okay, so we have the location. We did that already. צפון, right? The חטאת is in the צפון, just like the עולה. הכהן המחטא אותה יחלנה במקום קדוש, במקום קדוש תאכל בחצר, or, no, I think it's, הכהן המחטא אותה יחלנה במקום קדוש, תאכל בחצר או מועד. I'm not sure where the break is, if you pass me the פסוקים. Okay. Now we have Pasuk Chet. Okay, so that's basically the Kohen who is the one doing the Avodah. He's the one who eats the meat of the Chatat. If you remember, that's what happens to the meat of the Chatat. It gets eaten. Here, let's read it better now. Okay, it's, sorry. Here's how you read the Pasuk. Now I looked in the Tanakh. HaKohen HaMechateh Ota Yochlena, Psik, B'Makom Kadosh Te'achel, B'Chatzar Ol Moed. In other words, it's eaten in the Makom Kadosh. Where is that? B'Chatzar Ol Moed. כל אשר יגא בבשרה יקדש, ואשר יזה מדמה על הבגד, אשר יזה עליו תחבס במקום קדוש. Okay, this is our pasuk. אשר יזה מדמה על הבגד, if the dam goes from, we're going to see now, at what point does the dam go that it's going to cause it to be a problem? It goes on the bagged. It has to be whatever was sprinkled on it, blood, in other words, not sprinkling on the... Right. Generally, remember, we refer, and this is important, we refer to, and this came up yesterday, we refer to the presentations on the Mizbeach as nitina, and the Hazaot generally refer to sprinkling on the parochet, okay, which was really with the Chataot HaPnimiyot, where it gets sprinkled on the parochet on Yom Kippur, for example, Achat, Achat B'Achat, Achat B'Shtayim, right, where they do the seven Hazaot. So, so that's why that if in yesterday's daf it said really the Ikar Pasuk sounds like it's talking about the Chataot HaPnimiyot, and then from there they learn to the Chataot HaChitzoniyot also. So now we learn that if the blood sprinkles at some point, we'll see at which point exactly, on a beged, it has a din of kibus, you have to wash that beged. Then it gets to the next pasuk, which is the kli cheres asher tevushal bo yishaver. If you cook, we've learned this already, you cook in a pot, in a kli cheres, it has to be destroyed because what will happen? The chata will be absorbed into the pot, and then you'll have to break it because once it becomes notar left over, right, it's going to be old and problematic, and it's going to puzzle anything else.
Can I just ask for clarification? If you have to wash the beged, is that because you need the blood to stay there? Because they have to wear a new beged every. Don't they have to wear a new beged every time?
We had just talked about the fact that's true that you have to, and it's very wasteful.
Right, that's true. This is, right, I don't think this is even necessarily talking about the Bigdei Kehuna. This is any beged that gets blood on it. This is a separate din, that in order to have it not be contaminated, it has to be washed.
But what would they wear besides?
Well, first of all, it could be someone else's in the Azara. Well, I guess over there you could, right? Yeah, it's a good question. In other words, we talked about you're not allowed to wash, so what's this din? I assume this is just on anything, like it could be on a cloth that was in the Mikdash. A beged doesn't necessarily mean clothing also. It could be just on anything that was in the Mikdash. Has a level of tumah that needs kibus. I don't know so much more than that. Okay. Then we talk about, so that can't be kosher, but it's klei nechoshet. Then you do merika and shtifa, right? Merika and shtifa, which then we said, right, does it apply only to a chatat? Does it apply to all korbanot? Remember, there was a debate about this. Later we're going to get to this word otah. So pasuk seems a little unnecessary because we already said that it's eaten by the kohanim. Now we say all the zecharim kohanim, and then it says v'chol chatat, which we're not going to get to today. We learned this already. Any chatat asher yuvah midama al ol moed. Another din about the dam of the chatat. If you bring the dam into ol moed, l'chaper b'kodesh. Right, it goes. If it was a chatat chitzoni and it comes into the pnimi, lo te'achel ba'esh tisaref. Okay, so now the Mishnah says, so dam chatat shenitaz al beged harezet ta'un kibus. So you need this din of kibus. Okay, even though it's talking about things that are eaten, it then says even the nechalot and the pnimiyot to unim kibus. Okay, meaning the ones that go on the inside, remember, don't get eaten by the kohen. We take them out to the beit asrefa. Okay, here it sounds like the ikar din is said about the chatar chitzoni, and from there they learn to the pnimi. Afterwards, the gemara is going to say, oh no, that's not exactly the case. It's the other direction. Then we say. Okay, then the Mishnah goes on to say, Shenemar, how do we know both? Shenemar, Torah ha-chatat, Torah ha-chat l'chol ha-chatot. Any chatat has the same law. Chatat psula, ein damata unkibus. Okay, but now if we have a chatat that's psula, this is going to be very important for today's daf. We have dam chatat that's pasul. For various reasons it could be pasul. Ein damata unkibus. So if the dam that's pasul goes on a baguette, it doesn't need the din of kibus. Bein shaitala shat kosher, or bein shalo aitala shat kosher. Whether it was at some point good and then got bad, or whether it was never good at all. What would be the cases? Ezui shaitala shat kosher, shalana v'shenitma'a v'sheyatzat. Okay, it was good, but then it was left overnight. Or it was became impure, or it left the azara. Ve'ezui shalo aitala shat kosher, shenitshita chutz lezmana v'chutz lemkoma, pigul. Veshekiblu dama, shekiblu psulim, vezarku et dama, or not zarku et dama, but either which way, once someone is mekabel the dam who's a pasul, then there was never a shat kosher of the dam. Okay, likewise, if it was pigul, when they shechted it with the wrong way, then the dam never had the proper status. Either one of those things, so it becomes tameh and then it gets sprinkled, it's not a problem. Comes Rami Bar Chama, so back to Tzadi Gimel Amud Aleph at the very top. Ba'amine Rami Bar Chama Rav Chista. Yes, Rav Chista question. Nitaz al beged tamei mahu. What if the blood sprinkles on a beged tamei? So now the question is this. So we're going to see in a second what the question is. Let's explain the question. Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yoshua. Mide kame ba'e lehachi. From the fact that he asked the question this way. Shmamina haita la sha'ata kosher v'nifsela. Ein damata unkibus. When we say that if it had a shat kosher and then became pasul, it doesn't need kibus. That was our Mishnah. Which case are they talking about? Hanemile beze achar ze. That's a case when it became tamei and then got onto the beged. Aval bevat achat lo. Or do we say, but the whole question that he asked is when it happens bevat achat. Okay, in other words, if it's tameh, but you know, first it has shat kosher, it's fine. Then it becomes tameh, the blood. Then it becomes tameh, and then it sprinkles on a beged. Obviously, in that case, there's no question. That was the way we learned in our Mishnah. Haitala shat kosher, and then, right, it's going to spray on something. It's not going to be a problem. But bevat achat, what do we say bevat achat? Lo, odil maloshna. Do we say if it became tameh at the moment it hit the beged? Here we have blood that's kosher. Sprinkles on a beged that's tameh. As soon as it hits the beged's a rishon. A rishon is metameh, a sheni, it can be metameh, ma'achalu mashke. So the blood hits the beged. At the moment it hits the beged, it becomes tameh. But did it... Already, when all the things happen at the same time, it hits the beged, it makes the beged problematic that it needs kibus. On the other hand, it also became tameh at that moment. So when we said before nitma, and then right first we're going to say it was tahor, then it was nitma, and then it hit the beged, right? Hitiz ala beged. So when that happens, we're going to say for sure, right? There's no kibus. Right? No kibbutz in this case because it was already nitma before it hit the beged. What if it was tabor and then he tees al beged and at the moment he tees al beged, at the same time it became tameh?
Because the beged was
tameh. You follow? So in this case, do we say it gets kibbutz, or do we say it doesn't get kibbutz? That's the question of Rami Bar Chama.
Are they worried about airspace?
Ah, so soon we're going to get into airspace. So that's going to be the first way they're going to look at this, okay? That maybe when it hit the airspace, it already became tameh, in which case we'd say then it wouldn't need kibbutz. Okay, so hold up on the airspace. So Amar Leh, so Rav Chisda says to him, this is pluta de Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbanan aliba de Rabba ukidu kamitaritz avaye. Okay. Long thing. He says, this is exactly the machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan, according to Rabba, which is really not according to Rabba, because Rabba's going to, what he's basically saying is, there's a sugya where Rabba gives an answer, and Ukid Dekamatari, it's Abaye, and the way Abaye gives an answer, is we're going to have a very long sugya now. We're going to have to learn what's Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim, how does Rabba understand the machloket, and how does Abaye understand the machloket, and later we're going to see that even Rabba has a third understanding. So it's going to be a machloket. Okay, we're going to have to hold off till we see the connection. There's going to be a machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim. There's going to be three interpretations, okay? But the one we're really interested in for our purposes is going to be the way Abaye understands the machloket. And the way Abaye understands the machloket, what he's basically saying is, we can answer Rami Bar Chama and say, well, it depends. If you're Rabbi Elazar, you'll say one thing. If you're Chachamim, you'll say another thing. But it's only the machloket according to the way Abaye understands it and not the way Rabba or Rav understand it. Then it'll have nothing to do with this issue. Okay, so you have to hold off a little bit till we understand the whole context here. Ditanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Mechatat shenitme'u mitaharim. Rabbi Elazar says, if you have mechatat that became tamei, they can still be mitaher somebody else. How does he know this? Shaharei nida mazin alav, mazin aleha. You have a woman who's nida. And she also becomes tamemet. So if you now take the mechatat and you sprinkle on this tamei woman who's in nida, okay, now the mechatat obviously is not going to mean the taherota from her nida. So what happens? You sprinkle the mechatat on this nida woman to get her out of tumat meit. What's going to happen? It works. In other words, nobody ever said, what he's basically saying, nobody ever said, you can't be mazeh mechatat on a nida. So what do you see here? That when you sprinkle the mechatat on the nida, what's going to happen? As it touches her or gets into her airspace, we're going to have to see what exactly the machloket is here. But she's going to be mitameh the mechatat, because she's a nida. She could be mitameh liquids. So she's going to be mitameh that mechatat, which means that in essence, there's going to be mechatat that's sprinkled on her. That's nitma. Okay, again, the question is going to be, is this all happening bevat achad, or did the tumah come before? So what does he say, Rabbi Elazar? From here you can learn that any mechatat shenitme'u mitaharim, that even if your mechatat becomes contaminated, it can be mitaher. Okay, now let's, obviously, it doesn't say this, but obviously Chachamim disagree, because he said, bepluta de Rabbi Elazar v'chachamim. And they think that you can't prove it from the nida. Okay? They think the nida is not the same thing as mechatat shenitme'u. And why is that going to be? Because, well, we'll see. Okay? This is going to depend on the debate, how you read it. The Amar Rabba, okay? I charted all this out so you can see the different interpretations. Amar Rabba, Rabbi Elazar b'shitat Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Amara. Rabbi Elazar's shita is based on Rabbi Akiva, his rabbi's shita, about Tamar, Havarat Kli al Gabe Makom Tamei. Exactly what Sherry said, Baruch Shekivat. If you pass a kli over a tame location, okay, you're passing your kli on top of tuma, it's as if you put it in the davar tame. So as soon as you, so how does he view Rabbi Elazar? Rabbi Elazar says, what's going to happen? When you pass the mechatat over the nida, you're right, you sprinkle it on the nida woman, as it goes into the airspace above the woman who's nida, what's going to happen? It's going to be as if it was munach on the isha nida, which means that it's going to be nitma. And then what's going to happen? Then it's going to be mitaher, the woman. So what do you see? Nitma and then mitaher works. So even if the mechatat became tameh first, it's obviously okay. That's Rabbi Elazar's shita. Ditznan, how do we know? First, before we get to Chachamim, we're going to see how do we know Rabbi Akiva's shita. Ditnan, haya omer chutz l'tanur, v'sheretz b'tanur. Okay, we have a man. Okay, let's explain the whole situation first. We have a man, he's standing, or any person, a woman, standing next to a tanur. A tanur in those days was an open kli. The opening was at the top, not like we have ovens opening on the side, opening at the top. There's a sheretz in the oven, and beyond the oven, okay, he's standing next to the oven, beyond the oven is a wall. In that wall, there's a window. On the windowsill is some kind of jar of mechatat, or a cup of mechatat. Now, he wants to get that mechatat, but the only way he can get it is to pass it over the airspace of the tanur. So you can see where this is going. So he was standing chutz l'tanur, v'sheretz b'tanur. Hoshi yado l'chalom v'natalat halagin. He takes the log of the cup of mechatat. V'heviro p'ya tanur. Rabbi Akiva mitame, because he says this is kimunach dami. The chachamim mitaharim. Chachamim say this is tahor. Ubaha pligi. And this is the machloket. De Rabbi Akiva savar kimunach dami. Rabbanan savri lav kimunach dami. The etive abaye. Abaye says, what are you talking about? You can't compare this case to the machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim about hazaat mechatat. Why? Because it says in the Tosefta, okay, that was the Mishnah of Parah. This is the Tosefta in Parah. Moder Rabbi Akiva b'haza'a shehivira al klei cheres tamei al gabei mishkav u'moshav tamei shehaya. Sorry, I didn't read that right. B'haza'a shehivira al klei cheres tamei or al gabei mishkav u'moshav tamei shehi tehora. If you sprinkle something or throw something over airspace, that's tehora. She'ein lecha davar shemitamei lemala kelamata ela kezayit minamet ushar kol ma'ilim la'tuye even haminugad. The only thing that's mitame airspace is tumat meit, right? We have tumat meit, ohel, right? Then it gets into the airspace. That's why we have issues. Kohanim going on airplanes, right? That the air, all the way up to the air, goes. Okay. But what does he say? There's a difference between sprinkling and passing. So in other words, Rabbi Akiva says, if you're going to sprinkle, it goes through the airspace, and of course there's no problem. It's only in a case where you're passing. Which basically means that he's going to say this machloka Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim has nothing to do with Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim over there. Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim were talking about sprinkling, throwing. The issue where Rabbi Akiva says it is going to be a problem is when you take your hand and you move it over the space. Now, what's the difference? We're going to see right now.
It's in a kli.
It doesn't really matter. We're going to see, because you're right. It's not. Neither one is because of airspace like Tamei Meit that goes up Lashamayim. That's not the issue here. The issue is something else. Why is when you pass it over airspace, do we say it's as if it's Munach? That's for a very particular reason, not because of what you thought. Ela Amar Abaye Dekule Amalav Kimunach Dami. Nobody views this as Kimunach. It's not as if just it went through the airspace. It's not as if it was in the Davar Tamei, like Ohel or things like that. Rabbi Kiva Savar Gazrinan Shema Yanuach. Rabbanan Savre Lo Gazrinan. When you pass that kli over the tanur, what do we worry? That maybe your arm will get tired and you'll put it down. Okay? I don't know if it's because your arm will get tired. I'm just suggesting. The concern is that you're going to put it down. So therefore, you are not allowed to pass. If you pass something over airspace of Tuma, it's already considered Tuma just because of Gzera. We don't want you, that guy who's standing by that wall, we don't want him to pass the mechatat there because we're worried it's going to cause it to become tameh. So therefore, we tell him, if you pass it over that airspace, it's going to become tameh. Just so that he doesn't actually make it tameh. Okay? So therefore, that's what Rabbi Akiva holds. Chachamim say, what are you talking about? We're not gozer on that. So what does it have to do with hazah? Umode Rabbi Akiva b'hazah, kevan de nafak. Once you throw something, there's no concern maybe you'll put it down because you threw it. It's already out of your control. When it's in your control, we're concerned maybe you'll put it down. When it's out of your control, we're not concerned anymore. Okay. So if that's the case, what's left? So he says the machloket Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva Chachamim has nothing to do with the machloket Rabbi Elazar. Okay? Nothing. So therefore, what is he left to explain? What's the machloket Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim? And this is, okay, I'm just reminding you why we got here. we're now going to have an answer based on this. We're going to say the machloka between them is the same, is would answer Rami Bar Chama's question. The answer to Rami Bar Chama's question is, it depends if you're Rabbi Elazar or Chachamim, because he's going to say that it's the same thing. Remember what Rami Bar Chama asked? He asked, if you sprinkle it on a beged tameh, if at the moment it hits the beged, it becomes tameh, does that mean that the beged doesn't need hazaa anymore because it was contaminated blood? Or do we say, no, when it hit the beged, it wasn't contaminated, only after? So, here goes. So what does Abaye say? So Amar Abaye, dekule ama lav kemunach dami. Nobody thinks it's kemunach dami. I read that already. V'Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbanan v'may kamiflagei. Skip down two more lines. What are they arguing about? Amar Abaye, bidanim tum'at keduma mitum'at sheba'ota sha'at kamiflagei. Mar savar danin umar savar ein danin. Abaye says, do we treat tuma keduma? Do we learn out the halacha of something that was tamei? And then something happened, right? In other words, do we treat blood that already became tameh the same way that we treat tum'ah sheba'ota sha'ah, tum'ah that comes right now? So according to Rabbi Elazar, since the blood, the mechatat hit the woman and became tameh at that moment, we're going to treat that. Remember what Rabbi Elazar said. He said, we're going to learn about mechatat shenitme'u from anida shemazin aleh. Since you can sprinkle on anida, and while you sprinkle on her, she becomes tameh, we can learn from there to tameh mechatat that was tameh first, and then came onto a person, then was sprinkled. The point is, those two are considered the same. We started off with there's a bit of a difference, because one was nitma first, and one was nitma at the same time as... He says that's all treated the same. The fact that he uses, remember, what did I tell you? The Chachamim just disagree and don't think you could use the Nida as proof. Because they say you can't learn one from the other. Ein danin chatat kduma mi chatat debot hasha'ah. Tum'ah kduma mi tum'ah debot hasha'ah. You can't treat tuma that was first tameh and then you did the act from something where the tuma came at the moment of the act. Those are two different things. So that would answer Rami Bar Chama's question. If you treat tuma, now you're going to have to make a little jump here. In the case of the mechata, what are we saying? We're going to learn the fact that you can be mazah and anida. We're going to learn from there to the other type tuma, which basically you'd have to say means that tuma keduma is equal to. Right? It's not necessarily that you learn in either. You can learn in both directions, you'd have to say. Tum'ah k'tumah is equal to tum'ah bo'tasha. Okay? So once you equate those two, then you have an answer to the question. So if it was tahor and your hitiz al beged and it became tameh at that point, it's as if it was nitma and then hitiz al beged, which means there's no din of kibus. That would be Rabbi Elazar. And Chachamim would say, those are two different things, you can't compare them, would say, that only became tameh at the moment it hit the beged, which means we're going to treat that as if it was tahor when it hit the beged, and you are going to need a din of kibus. So that's what they're saying. Okay, that was this whole thing we brought just to show that according to Abaye anyway, the machloka between Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim is about this exact issue that Rami Bar Chama was asking. Now we're going to just revert back to the machloka Rabbi Akiva and Chachamim and give a third interpretation about what their machloka is based on, and that's Rava. Yeah, you can ask.
Airspace is above, but if you're throwing it, then airspace is...
This has no issue of airspace.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't care about airspace. Only Rava thought it had to do with airspace. And that's why Rava's not relevant to our issue.
Okay?
But Abaye is saying, that's why it was weird that it said, Aliva de Rabo kudibataritz Abaye. In other words, it's just saying, some people say they did it out of respect because Abaye was the student of Rabbi. He was also his adopted son. So out of respect for Rabbi, they kind of mentioned Rabbi in the context and then mentioned, but really it's how Abaye answers the question. He didn't think it had to do with airspace at all. Remember, it was just about the Gzera. Okay? And then it had nothing to do with Rabbi Akiva. That was all, remember. Abaye was trying to just disconnect Rabbi Akiva's machloka from Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim, and then we had to say, well, then what's your interpretation of Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim? So it was a very long-winded way to get to where we wanted to get to. Now, go back, and this is why I charted it, so you could kind of keep it intact. So what we have here is what's the machloket between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanan? So we have one interpretation, the machloket is based on, do we view it as kemunach dami? And once it went into the airspace of the Nida, so it became tame first. According to Abaye, it has nothing to do with that. It's all a matter of, do we view tumah that came at that moment like tumah that came before? And according to Rava, we're going to have a third interpretation of the machloket, Rabbi Elazar and Chachamim. I think I accidentally said before Rabbi Akiva. I meant Rabbi Elazar. So now, Rava Amar, Dekulei Alma Ein Danin. No, really, nobody thinks that you can learn, okay, which makes sense also to say that they're the same is a little bit odd. Nobody says you can learn tumah that came at the same moment from tumah that came, I'm sorry, tumah that came before from tumah that came in the same moment. Those are not two of the same thing. You know, one. I'm sorry, they're not one and the same thing. V'hacha v'hacha miflegei. This is the machlok. To Rabbi Elazar Savar, haza'at tzricha shi'ur. Okay, I just want to remind you, we're disconnected now from our flow of the Gemara earlier, right? This has nothing to do with Rami Bar Chama's question. Now we're going to say the machloka between them has to do with, does haza'ah need a shi'ur umitztarfin lahaza'ot? Rabbanan savrei haza'ah ein tzricha shi'ur. If you say haza'ah has, if you remember, we had this machloket, does haza'ah mechatat need a particular amount of water? If it needs a particular amount of water, what's going to happen when you start sprinkling it on the nida? The first drop is going to hit her. It's not going to be mitaherota yet, which means it's now going to be mechatat me'im. And then you're going to sprinkle more and more and more. All that mechatat me'im is going to collect till you finally have enough of a shi'ur. At that moment, it's exactly the case of nitma, and then he tis albeget. You know, it's this. In other words, it's like that order where first nitma, and then it was mechateota, it was mitaherota. So therefore, we're going to say, that's what Rabbi Elazar says, very simply, mechatat shenitmu or mitarim, because look at the nida. When you start sprinkling on her, since you don't have enough of a shi'ur, it immediately becomes tameh, and only once you have enough is it mitaherota. So that, it became tameh first. So not because of the airspace, right? And not because Abayu says it's another, right? It's Abayu views it as it actually became tameh the second it hit her, right? The same time, at the same time that it was mitaherota. Whereas both Rabba and Rava view that there was something beforehand. Rabba said it first hit her airspace and became Tameh and then hit her. According to Rava, it hit her actually, but it didn't yet work to bintaher because you needed a shi'ur. And Chachamim, who don't have an issue with this, right, say you can't learn it from the Nida, it's because Chachamim say, haza ein sricha shi'ur, Rabbanan Sabra haza ein sricha shi'ur. There's no shi'ur, so the second it hits her, one drop, it already is mitaherota, in which case, again, the tumah and tahor, it's coming at the same time, and therefore you can't learn from here to mechatat, that was nitma, and then they wanted to use to sprinkle. Okay. Chatat psula. Okay, now we go back to the Mishnah. They said that a chatat psula, right? You don't ein damata un kibus, whether hatcha kosher or not. So Tana Rabbanan, we're going to quote a brayta. Mi dama, where do we learn from the pasuk? It says, where's the mi dama pasuk? Kosher gabsara. Asher yizem mi dama pasuka. Okay, asher yizem mi dama. Midama means midam kshira, but lo midam psula. That's how we exclude dam psula. It has to be from its dam, the dam that's good. Rabbi Akiva omer, haitala shat kosher v'nifsala, damata un kibus. Lo haitala shat kosher v'nifsala, ein damata un kibus. Rabbi Akiva says, if it was actually good at some point, but then became pasul, then it actually needs kibus. That's against what we saw in our Mishnah. But lo haitala shat kosher v'nifsala, but if it never had a shat kosher, ein damata un kibus. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Echadze v'Echadze, Ein Damata Un Kibus. That matches our Mishnah. No matter what, it doesn't need Kibus. My time with Rabbi Shimon. K'tiv Ota, U'K'tiv Midama. Now we go back to that Pasuk that I mentioned to remember it, because Pasuk Kafet, which doesn't really have to do with the blood and the Kibus anymore, says, Kol HaZachar B'Kohanim Yochal Ota. But he said, again, within the context of these psukim, there's an ota, which comes to exclude something. What does it come to exclude? Ah, it must come to exclude. Midama excludes one type, and ota excludes another type. Chad lehechad aita lashat kosher v'chad. Right, and then the other one is de'en lashat kosher. Rabbi Akiva ota, what does he do with this ota? Prat l'truma. He says, no, this is to tell you that, what was the truma that, right, This has nothing to do with the pasuk about kibus, which was two pasukim earlier. It has to do with the pasuk right before it. What does the pasuk right before it talk about? Mirikan shtifa. What does that mean? If you cook in this kli, right, the chatat, you're going to have an issue. He says it doesn't apply to truma. Something that you cook truma in doesn't need mirikan shtifa. So now we're going to say, what about Rabbi Shimon? Why doesn't he need the pasuk otah to exclude mirikan shtifa? Rabbi Shimon l'tameh damar kochim kalem ein tu'uni mirikah u'shtifa v'kol shekein truma. Remember I told you, I mentioned this earlier just so you remember for this line, that we had this whole debate. Is this only a chatat? Is it also kochim kochim? Is also kochim kalem? So Rabbi Shimon holds it doesn't include any kochim kalem, in which case it's not going to include truma, because truma is also kochim kalem, right? Because the kohanim eat it and they eat it wherever they want. It's a lesser level of truma, in which case, obviously, you don't need a special limud to say it doesn't need mirikan shtifa truma. Okay, you'd only need that special limud if you thought the kochim kalem needed shtifa mirika. Okay, so this ota, which really comes two psukim after our topic, does it have? Can we revert it back to our topic, or does it, can we? You know, according to Rabbi Shimon, this has nothing to do with our topic, and therefore, I'm sorry. According to Rabbi Akiva, this has nothing to do with our topic. It has to do with the mirikan shtifa. Okay, and according to Rabbi Shimon, it has to do with our topic, and that's why he excludes both shat kosher and both she'en la shat kosher. Okay, new Mishnah. Nitaz minat savara la beged. Okay, the basic line, really you need the last line of this Mishnah first, but the last line of the Mishnah is going to tell you, maybe we'll just skip for a minute. Ein ta'un kibus el adam shenitkabel bekli v'ro'oil hazah. The only time you're going to have this din of kibus is when the blood, okay, first we learned it has to be good blood, okay. Now we're going to say not only that, but it has to have been in a kli sharet, okay, before it got sprinkled onto you, and it has to be ra'oil hazah. It has to be blood that you can sprinkle. Okay, which also means really that it was in a kli. So let's go back to the beginning now. Nitaz minat savar la beged. Let's say it comes straight from the animal and sprays onto some beged. Eino ta'un kibus. Then there's no kibus because what? It wasn't collected in a kli sharet. Min hakeren umin hayisod. You put it on the keren and it boomerangs off. You know, you sprinkle it on the keren and it splashes back onto something. Or min hayisod, or from the yisod where you were pouring the blood. Eino ta'un kibus. Nishpach ala ritzpa basafo. It fell on the floor and then you collected it. Ein ta'un kibus. Why? Because ein ta'un kibus el adam shenitkabel b'kliv or oil hazah. Okay, it has to be dam that was collected in a kli. Tana Rabbanan. Yachol nitaz minat tzavar ala beged yehei ta'un kibus. You might have thought that when it goes straight from the tzavar of the animal into the beged, right, the neck of the animal into the beged, you might have thought it needs kibus. Tamud lamar asher yizeh. Okay, since it said, right, Ba'ashir yizeh midama la beged, okay, asher yizeh alav techabes makom kadosh. So now they say like this. Lo amarti lecha ela b'ra'oi lahazah. Why does it say asher yizeh? To teach you that it has to be ra'oi lahazah. Since this was never collected in a kli sharet, if it fell from there, where would it go? It would go on the floor. You can't remember. If it falls on the floor before it was in a kli sharet, you can't use it. Tani idach, another braita. Yachol nitaz min hakeren u min hayisod yehei ta'un kibus. Talmud lomar, asher yizeh prat lezeh shekvar huzah. Also, asher yizeh is going to exclude anything that was, asher yizeh means that which is supposed to be sprinkled. If it was already sprinkled on the mizbeach, right, if it boomerangs off the keren after you put it on the keren or the yisod, then it's also not going to be mitameh that you need kibus. Nishpach al haritzpah. Okay, what if it falls on the floor? Okay, this actually isn't really what we're referring to. What we're really referring to at this point is the last line, which is Ein ta'un kibus el adam shenitkabel b'kliv v'ro'oi lahazah. Hatu lamali. So now, right, I started with that line because I think that's the most important line of the Mishnah because it gives us the klal. But the Gemara is saying, once you gave all the details, everybody would already figure out the klal and you don't really need the klal. So what do you need this for? So they're saying, no, ma ta'am kamar. It's actually just giving the reason. And it's not giving you another case. You might have thought it was giving you another case. No, it was explaining. Matam nishpach al haritzpa v'asafo ein ta'un kibus. Why if it fell on the floor and you collected it, does not need kibus. Lefisha ein ta'un kibus el adam shenitkabel b'kliv v'ro'oi lahazaya. Okay, that just explains why you don't do kibus in that case. Or really in any of the cases in the Mishnah. Ra'oi lahazaa. So now it says, right, except for dam shenitkabel b'kliv v'ro'oi lahazaa. Now, once you said, you saw I was struggling explaining the Mishnah, because really, what's ra'oi lahaza'ai was nitkabel b'kli. So it's really one and the same thing. So now the Gemara is going to say, l'mi'utemai, what do you need these words, ra'oi lahaza'ai? What's it coming to exclude? למיעוטי קיבל פחות מכדי הזיה בכלי זה ופחות מכדי הזיה בכלי זה. It's a case where you collected a little bit of blood in one cup and a little bit of blood in another cup, but neither one is a shiur of blood that you need in order to get enough blood on the kernot to the mizbech. So if you didn't, so there you could have a case where it was collected in a kli sharet, but it's not ra'oi lahazaya, because in order to have it ra'oi lahazaya, we're going to learn this, and we learned this before actually, you have to have collected enough dam in the kli milachatchila, right? When you did the shechita, it's not, you can't take a few cups, a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit there, and then mix them all together. That doesn't work. We learned that, and we're going to learn the same source again. Titania, Rabbi Chalafta Bar Sha'ul Omer. He's actually talking about now mechatat. We keep having this ping pong between mechatat and the mehazaya. Okay, both of them, by the way, are sprinkled. Okay, we're going to learn today that the Parah Aduma. I'm going to already read you the psukim. In the Parah Aduma Pesukim, I don't know if you ever paid attention to this detail, but it says here, okay, so Yechoel lecha Parah Aduma Tmimah Sherim Bamum Urim Bamibar Yudtet Vashor Lo Ala Ala Os. You pick out the Parah Aduma Unitatem Ota Lazar Kohen Votzi Ota Michutz LaMachaneh. He does the Shechita V'Shechat Ota Lefanav. He does the Shechita outside. V'Lakach Lazar Kohen Be'etzba'o. Now he takes from his etzba. Bihiza el nochach pnei ol mo'e midama sheva pamim. He sprinkles the blood to the kivun of, right, he's obviously not in the mikdash, he has to take a mechutz l'machaneh, but while he's standing there, he sprinkles toward the mikdash 7 times. Okay, so there's also a sprinkling that goes on there, not just the sprinkling of the mechatan on a person, but there's the sprinkling of the blood of the animal. Okay, so just mentioning that. Okay. So now, but that's not what we're talking about yet. We're going to get there, so I wanted to mention it. Now we're talking about the mechatat itself. What did you do with the mechatat? So now we need the psukim later. So what happens? You take this, right? Then he burns, okay? The next thing he does is he burns the para. He takes the ashes, remember? So he takes 8 erezezo v'shniv tolat, v'shlich al tov srefat ha-para, v'chibetz gadav ha-kohen, v'rachatz v'mayim, v'chari yavol ha-machaneh, okay, v'srefat ha-na-na-na, v'asach ish tahor et efer ha-para, v'yiniach michutz ha-machaneh b'makom tahor, right? He takes the efer ha-para, and then they use it, right? So basically they put the mechatat, and they take this mayim, and then they mix the ashes with the water. That's called kidesh. So kidesh pachot michdei hazaya b'kli ze, u'pachot michdei hazaya b'kli ze, lo kidesh. Okay, this assumes there's a shear of hazaya. So if you took ashes and mixed it with water, mei ma'ayan, right, fresh water, you mix less than a shi'or that you need, okay, one kli, and less than another kli, lo kidesh. This is not good. Doesn't work. Ibai lehu bidam mahu. So now he says, so the question now is, how do we view dam? Hilchatahi, do we say this halacha about kidesh b'pachot mechdei hazaya is halacha l'mosh misinai u'mihilchata lo gamrinan, and therefore we don't learn from here to dam? This is just a unique halacha by mechatat. O dilma hata mai taima, or maybe we say no. The reason there is because it says v'taval b'mayim. Okay, this is in here. I didn't read this psukim. These are the psukim later. These are the ones I was looking for before. Okay, v'lakach ezov v'taval b'mayim ish tahor v'hizal la'oel v'al kol ha'kelim v'al ha'nefashot asher yusham v'al ha'nugeh b'etzem o b'chalal o b'meita b'kever. So then, when he goes to use it, right? Not when he makes it, but when he goes to use it, it says he dips b'mayim. Okay, now we learned this before already. V'taval, right? V'taval b'mayim. So we're assuming v'taval b'mayim means there has to be enough of a shi'ur in order for you to be able to dip into it, right? If you have just a teeny bit, you can't actually dip. So since it says v'taval b'mayim there, well, we'd say the same thing as by the chatat, because hachanami k'tiv v'taval b'dam. By the chatat, it says you have to dip it in the blood. So therefore, do we say this is a unique halacha by mechatat, we can't learn from here to the dam? Or do you say no? The reason why it says it there is because b'taval. And therefore, by the chatat, it also says taval. Therefore, it must mean you need a minimum shear of blood. Tashma, let's learn it from here. Here's going to be our answer to the question. Da'amar Rabbi Zreka Amar Rabbi Elazar, af b'dam lo kidesh. He says, even b'dam, it's not going to work. Not just by mechatat, also by dam. Amarava, Tanya Vitaval, and here we're going to see a braita about this. Rava says, here's a braita that says it also. V'taval v'lo misapag. You have to dip it and not scrape the blood off the sides with your finger. Remember it says you do v'hizam in a etzba, right? The pasuk is v'taval ha-kohen et etzba o badam. You dip your finger in the blood. V'hizam in adam sheva pamim lefnei Hashem p'nei ha-paroch ha-kodesh. So we're not going to darshan this. V'taval means lo misapag. You can't just scrape the sides. You have to dip it all in. Badam. Why does it say b'taval badam? We know you're. It could have just said b'taval. We know you're talking about badam. Ad shehe badam shiur tefillah. This is our halacha. There has to be enough blood from the beginning. It's not just. Well, we'll see this in a minute, but I'll already tell you. It's not just that you need enough blood when you're dipping your finger in. It's that from the beginning you had to have collected the blood in a manner that you could have done tefillah. What's the difference? You could have collected in a bunch of small cups and then put it all in one cup in order to dip your finger in. But that's the second thing is telling you, no. Badam means you need a shiur tefillah mi'ikaro. Sorry, I forgot to read that last word. Mi'ikaro, from the beginning. And then min hadam shebayinyan. I'm going to leave this aside for a minute. We'll explain this in one more minute. Ve'itzrich lemichtav badam. Okay, so now why? This is explaining what I just explained, which is why did you need badam? As you could have been v'taval, you would have known you need a shiur of tefillah. Right? You might have thought it doesn't necessarily need a shiur of tefillah in the beginning, as long as by the time you put your finger in, you've already collected a bunch of cups and then put them all together. Therefore, katav rachmana b'dam. That's why it said b'dam in order to teach you. No. The dam from the beginning has to have enough of a shiur. V'i katav rachmana b'dam, havamina filu misapag. Even if there's the opposite. What if you had enough dam in the cup, but let's say it spilled? And then there's just a little bit in the sides, and you can scrape the sides with your finger, right? You can swipe your finger on the sides, get some blood, and you can sprinkle from there. You might have thought that was okay. Katav rachmana v'taval. Okay, therefore it says, v'taval. No. When you do the sprinkling, you have to actually put your finger. Min hadam shebinyan, right? That's to teach you, min hadam shebinyan. What does that mean? Lemi'ute mai. Amarava, lemi'ute shirayim shebe'etzba. Not only that, remember, you have to do these seven sprinklings. So how do you do the seven sprinklings? Each time, you have to dip your finger. You can't use what was left on your finger from one sprinkling. Let's say you have enough blood in your finger to sprinkle twice. You can't do that. Each time, you have to get fresh blood. Okay, that's what it's saying. Lemi'ute shirayim shebe'etzba. You can't use whatever's left on your finger. So now, till we get to the Mishnah, which is where we're going to finish today, we're going to deal with this opinion about the shirayim shebe'etzba. Miseyeh l'Rabbi Elazar. This supports Rabbi Elazar, because to Amar Rabbi Elazar, Shirayim Shebe'etzba Psulim. Rabbi Elazar had this halacha, that Shirayim Be'etzba were Psulim. So now we're going to question this. Amar Le'Rav Avin Bar Rav Ada L'Rava, this should be Rava, not Rav, he says to Rava, who was his Rav, Amar Talmidcha Amar Rav Amram, it's a strange way of saying it, but I think he's trying to say, I have a question on what you said, and I'm kind of saying it in a modest way. Amar Talmidcha, your Talmid about himself, is heard in the name of Rav Amram. Tanina hayamazeh v'nidza haza'am yado ad shelo haya ta'un kibus. Mishihiza ein ta'un kibus. He says, Rav Amram said this braita. He was sprinkling, and the haza'ah went from his hand. Okay, we're obviously talking about blood here, because it's ta'un kibus. The blood... If the blood came off from his finger, ad shalohiza, we don't yet know what this means, ad shalohiza. He's going to give one interpretation, and Rava, to answer his question, is going to give a different interpretation. So, until he does haza'ah, if it sprinkles on it, you need kibus. Once he already sprinkled, ain ta'un kibus. My lav hachikamar, is this not what it means? Ad shaloh gamar milazot, until he finished all seven sprinklings. Right? So meaning, if he hasn't yet finished all seven sprinklings, it's going to need kibbutz. So what's the case, according to Ravin Bar Rav Ada? What does he think? That once you're sprinkling, right? So I'm sprinkling on the parochet, then I have a little bit left on my finger, and from my finger it drips onto a baguette. Now, what's the status of that? It's not ra'oila, right? If it's not ra'oila haza'ah, because it's not according to Rabbi Elazar, you can't use that to sprinkle, then it shouldn't cause kibus, because only things that are ra'oila haza'ah, going back to the beginning, are ta'un kibus. But it sounds to him from here that as long as I haven't finished all seven haza'ot, at whatever stage my finger drops the blood onto the baguette, it's going to need kibus, which seems to imply that I can use the shirayim from my fingers to sprinkle on the parochet if I want. And that goes against Rabbi Elazar. So So this is what he says. So Achelo gamar milazot tum kibus, but Misha gamar lazot ain't tum kibus. So Rabbi says lo hachi kamar. Ad shelo yatzta haza ami yado ta'un kibus. Mishi yatzta haza ami yado ain't ta'un kibus. He says, no, no, no. What it means is when you're sprinkling on the way towards the parochet, if it drops from your finger, it's going to need kibus. But on your way back, then it's not. Okay? Which would then support what Rabbi Elazar said, that the shirayim are not ra'oi lahaza'an. That way, if from whatever's left on your finger, it's going to drip on the beged, it's not going to need kibus. Another question on Rabbi Elazar. Eti ve'abaye. Now we're back to the mechatat. Okay, we keep going back and forth. Now we're actually not on the mechatat. We're on the hazaot of the para aduma of the blood. After he shechted, this is what I showed you before. After he shechts the para aduma, he sprinkles the blood toward the hechal. Gamar mila hazaot. Once he finishes all the hazaot, the seven sprinklings, mikanech yado begufa shel para. He wipes his hand off on the goof of the para. Why does he do this? Because all the blood there has to, whatever blood is left over has to be burned. So if you have blood on your finger, you have to wipe it all off on the para, and then they're going to burn the rest of the para. Okay? So, gamar in, lo gamar lo. Here it sounds like, you're only mikanech your yad when you finish all the hazaot. So what does that seem to imply? That if you still have blood left on your hand, you can use it to sprinkle on toward the Beit HaMikdash. So Amarle, no. Gamar mekanech yado begufa shel para. Lo gamar mekanech etzba'o. In other words, he's distinguishing between your yad and your etzba. Your yad is because you have to get all the blood off because you can't have any blood once it's done. All the blood has to be burned. But in between hazaot, we're only concerned about your finger because you're only using your finger to sprinkle. Then you have to wipe your finger off. Okay? So now they say, well, bishlama gamar. Gamar, when he finishes, we understand. There it says, you burn the para, therefore we know you have to do it on the para. What's he going to use to wipe his finger? The concern here is that if he uses his finger to wipe it on the animal, he's going to end up with hairs and other stuff, and we don't want that getting into the mechata. So we have a problem. So what does he wipe his finger on? And here it goes to something we learned already. Amar Abaye, bisfat mizrak. He uses the side of the bowl. He wipes it on the side of the bowl. Kidichtiv kiforei zahav. You remember we said they call it kiforei zahav, and kafur is also milashon to lekaneach, to wipe. So that they call the bowls wiping, like almost like a wiping bowl, you know, that you could use it to kind of clean your finger off. So you clean his finger off in between hazayot on the side, which then proves Rabbi Elazar that you can't use the shirayim to sprinkle, which then also worked with what we were talking about the dam, that the dam, shirayim of the dam can't be used.